Good morning.
Good morning,
and a very warm welcome to you on this beginning of autumn, let's face it. You call us, Lord, to leave familiar things and to travel out of our comfort zone. May we open our eyes to new experiences. May we open our ears to hear you speaking to us. And may we open our hearts to your love. Grant that our lives on pilgrimage may help us to see ourselves as we really are. And may we strive to become the people that you would have us be. Amen. Would you remain standing for the gospel, please? Which is taken from the 9th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus and his disciples went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anybody to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to him, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they didn't understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent. For on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12 and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be the last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." This is the gospel of the Lord. The book of Proverbs asks the question, "A capable wife who can find?" With Juliet sitting in the congregation, I have no intention of preaching on that text. But maybe Sam could take it into account when he's preparing his wedding. Instead, Juliet and I have just got back from a trip to Uzbekistan in Central Asia. That's quite enough of that. And a lot of people before and since have said, "Why on earth did you do that? Why go there for a holiday?" Well, certainly it's not for its sea coast. Uzbekistan is one of only two countries in the entire world that is doubly landlocked. In other words, all the countries round it have no sea access either. So it is right in the middle of that huge, great area of Central Asia, and cut off from all access to the sea. So I didn't go there for the sailing. I can't say that we went there for the cuisine either. Their favourite dish is called plov, sometimes called osh, a sort of heavy, oily pilaf with rather fatty beef. Nor, to be honest, did we go there for the countryside. Most of the land we saw was flat and desert, with sort of scrubby bushes dotted around. So what did we go there for? Well, Uzbekistan has to be one of the major cradles of civilization. The Silk Road, if you've ever heard of the Silk Road, that goes from China to the Mediterranean and back again. Goes right the way through Tashkent and Bukhara and Kiva and Samarkand. Now, there's a name to conjure with, Samarkand. Wonderful places. And we went there because we were drawn by the lure of the beautiful ancient tiled mosques and madrasas and palaces that adorn all those places. We went perhaps responding to the words in James Elroy Flecker's poem, which says, or one couplet is, "The lust of knowing what should not be known, we tread the golden road to Samarkand." And we've returned enriched by the experience. It was a really great holiday, and I would strongly recommend anybody to go there. It was entirely safe, very confident, and very a very well set up place, former Soviet place, but now it's very much its own people. It raised the question for me, why? Why do people have holidays? Why do they go on holidays? And it seems to me people go on holidays for very different reasons. Yesterday, as I've said, a group of us, led by the formidable Jeanette, walked a section of the St. James's Way in Hampshire and Berkshire. It was signposted with little blue signs with cockle shells, which are the symbol of pilgrims. And it feeds in amazingly. I didn't know that this Camino de Santiago de Compostela starts in Reading. Or one tributary of it does. But there were all these signs leading us on down towards Southampton. We didn't go there. Across, down through France and across northern Spain to Santiago de Compostela. So why did we do that? Was it somewhere just to go for a 10-mile stroll? Or was it to see what it was like in a different part of England, the part of England where Linda and Nigel have retired to? Or was it for the experience, or for the exercise rather, of doing a 10-mile walk? Or was there a deeper reason? Was there a more spiritual reason in walking in the footsteps of people who had done that years and years over the years before? Pilgrims, tourists, strollers, exercisers, each one expresses an attitude of mind, an intention, a way of looking at things as we pass by. Each one describes a view of life. Several years ago, we were flying back from an amazing holiday in Turkey. And we had been to wonderful places and we had seen amazing things and we had met fascinating people and we had had hair-raising experiences and we were feeling really chipper about the whole thing. And we were chatting to a girl in the plane and we said, you know, where did you go? And she said that she'd been to Lindos. And I said, oh, that's nice. Lindos is a nice place. You know, did you go into Rhodes Town? And she said, oh, no, we sat on the beach in at the beach in Lindos. And I said, well, Lindos itself is interesting, isn't it? There's a big castle up there. Did you go up to the castle? Oh, no, we just sat in the beach at the bottom of the hill and you know. And they had spent their entire week on sun loungers. And they thought it was brilliant. And for them, it was, in the same way as the holiday, same time, had been brilliant for us. Different people have different views about holidays. And also, if you think about it, life is a pilgrimage. It's often referred to as that. Life itself is a journey. And there are many twists and turns and many ups and downs and many joys and sorrows, opportunities and disappointments. And it's likely to be that for Sam and Grace. They're engaged on this endeavor together, this journey together. And most of it, I hope, will be wonderful. But there will be times, as we all know, when it's less than that. And it's how you cope with those ups and downs that is important. Our attitudes will vary from person to person, because for some people, life's journey is a sort of stumble through one thing after another. For others, it's an attempt to secure as much wealth as possible so that they can have as easy a time as possible. For other people, it's a pilgrimage, following a vision of a better world, and led by somebody, perhaps Jesus in our case, who exemplifies that desire for a world of peace and harmony. Next Sunday, we will be having a new phase in the journey of this building, of this parish. There will be new ways of doing things, new ideas, when Liz Guest takes up her task at parish priest. And no doubt she will have her own way of doing things to which we will need to adjust. And if she's wise, she will take note of how we have done things up till now, and she will need to adapt to those. So it will be a journey. It will be a pilgrimage. It will have its challenges and opportunities. But if we keep in mind a vision of what it is we are striving for, if we can work towards the type of world that Jesus opened up for us, then I'm sure that all will be well. We heard in the passage, not the one from Proverbs, but the one from St. James, we were told, "Whoever is wise and understanding among you, show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. For the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace." So I pray for Liz and for all of us as we start this journey and face the challenges of our next pilgrimage. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you.